I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. A lot of people aren't in the house of the Lord this morning because of the tornadoes, right? I just found out about that this morning on the way here. Do you ever stop and count your blessings? I think now's the time we need to really do that. A lot of people are going to be asking a lot of questions. Why did God allow this to happen? Oh, that's a glory train, right? There's a glory train. The glory just went by, right? Just came by. God is on his throne. And he hasn't dropped off yet. You know, there's with God told us we weren't finished with COVID yet, all right? And we have to know there's side effects to COVID. You know, once you have COVID, then after you're over COVID, then you have side effects. And, you know, I've been just thinking about families and how the different, how it's, you know, the COVID after effects are affecting different members of the families. And I just felt in my spirit to tell you that you need to start being a family and helping one another through these difficult times. You might have to carry somebody else's load, you know. And we have to be more considerate of what's going on with a person. And I have been hearing where people that are over COVID have all the shots or have COVID again. So, you know, we really can't take this thing lightly as we have been. And I'm not saying walk in fear. I'm saying we need to just really hold us up before God. And we really need to be more considerate of the people around about us and what's going on in their lives. You know, I know that a lot of us take life for granted. You know, and we never think, oh, I'm never going to get sick and this and that and the other. And then when it happens, you're devastated. I just think it's time that the Christians get their head out of the sand and realize we're human. And God has not exempted us from sorrow. And this is why there's so many people leaving the church, because they weren't told that you're gonna suffer, you know, and think you're gonna go through things just like Jesus did, just like the disciples did, and you know, and they got over it and kept on giving the gospel out, even when they were going through their trials and tribulations. I was reading where Paul said, "I come to you with fear and trembling, much pain. My words aren't enticing." You know, so this was a disciple of God's, a chosen vessel, and he's saying he came to them with fear and trembling and in pain. And because we know that Paul, you know, the Roman army was after him all the time, trying to destroy him. And we know that he wrote most of his epistles sitting in a prison cell. He was not freely running around the countryside. And we get all upset if we have to go through some little trial or tribulation. We get upset if we think the assignment God's given us is too hard. And it's time that we really grow up and become warriors and become true children of God, where we can be a light that shines to this dark, dark world. With the tornadoes that went through, there's going to be a whole lot of questions being asked. And I'm just wondering, is there going to be enough around and people around that have the right answers? Think about this. And be able to encourage them to go forth, knowing they just might have lost their whole family. You know, one or two members lost everything they own. And we know we're living in trying times, but are they going to be able to rebuild, you know, financially? We need to stop taking things for granted. And, you know, we keep singing, God keeps having us that those thank you, Lord, for those. What can I thank you for? And I noticed the last couple words that God gave me to put out there was all about us remember his promises. And so if you read the word, there's a whole lot of promises in his word. And I don't believe that we remember those promises. When we go through a trial and a tribulation, we just get all bent out of shape and we forget what God's told us, you know, and this and that, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And, you know, and I know that God wants us to be more mature. I know that he wants us to be grown up to the point where he can use us in a given time, that he can trust us to do the things he's called us forth to do and not lose faith. I don't know if you feel the seriousness in the air of the time that we're living in. I don't know if you understand that some people feel like they're just spinning their wheels. Me, for one. And I just feel like God should be doing more, you know, be moving quicker than he is moving. But, you know, I have found out the body of Christ is not ready yet for the great outpouring that God wants to pour out upon his people. And that's a shame. Because we've been sitting under the anointing for way too long. And we just shouldn't be sitting here just preaching to empty chairs and the same people over and over again. We should have a flood of people coming through the doors continually. And the reason why we don't is because we're not where we should be with Christ. All right, you need to really think about this stuff and quit blaming on the other person. Search your own heart. And I know that everybody God sends in here to be ministered to, you guys are really strong. You have strong talents. You're really gifted from God, and sometimes you get discouraged. I'm just sitting there doing nothing. Well, you know, your time is coming, and maybe sometimes when your time does come, you wish you were just sitting there, just sitting. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a whirlwind of work for God. And are you capable of waiting patiently for God to finally move upon you and use you in the manner he desires to use you? I'm just like you. I just wish God had moved 10 years ago. But he hasn't. But this morning he has a word for us. And I hope you take the word and you take it to your bosom. And I hope you understand that you're just not sitting here spinning your wheels. I know you're gifted. I know some of you, anybody in here could speak better than I do. But God has chosen me to be the one to sit here. And he's chosen you to be the one to sit here and for him to teach you something. And so let's just go with God. And let's just do what God's wanting to do with us. Quit kicking against the pricks. And just understand that God, he knows exactly what he's doing. All right? Father, I just thank you. And I just thank you, Father God, for the people you've sent in here this morning to hear your word. I thank you, Father, that we watched many, many people come through this door. And they've left and they're just sitting, not doing what you told them to do. But I'm asking this morning, Father God, that these people that you have in here this morning, your people, your precious people, that you will touch them in a way this morning that they will be revived. And Father God, they'll have the stamina to go forth and do the things you're calling them forth to do, even if it's just to sit and be patient a little while longer. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit touch them, Father, and you do the mighty works that needs to be done within each and every life. And I thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Naomi, my beloved, I am there beside you. I am holding your heart strings. I am preparing you for a brand new life, a brand new walk with me. I know you're not getting discouraged, but I am encouraging you to stay encouraged. I know that you have faith that'll move mountains, and I am saying stay in that faith. Do not veer to the right nor to the left. Do not listen to the voices around about you, little one. For I am doing a brand new thing within your life. I'm going to bring you to the mountaintop, and you will bring many, many, many souls with you. So be encouraged this day. Look up. I know the pain, I know the sorrow, I know the grief. But I am saying, look unto me, the author and finisher of your life. Hold my hand tightly from this day forward, tighter than ever before. For daughter, we are going to go on a whirlwind journey, you and I. And you are going to do great exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love you, and always remember that I love you. This morning, God's talking about the floodgate. This is what he said, the floodgates are open, and I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh. Not they're going to be opened, but he spoke very clearly to me. He said, the floodgates are open, and I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh. Now, I got excited about that because so that means right now, the glory is being poured out upon us, and God is using us. You might not see how God is using you, but God is using you. He's changing and rearranging some things inside of you that need to be changed and rearranged, but he is using you. Start watching very carefully of what you do each and every day. Start watching what kind of people God places across your path. Just start listening to what you yourself are saying and take nothing for granted from this day forward. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and we're in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 21 is talking about the great outpouring. The great harvest of souls that we are going to now be encounter and bring into the house of the Lord. This Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21 is exactly where we are at. God said, I am pouring out my spirit at this dispensation of time, just as I did in the book of Acts. I am pouring out my spirit in a fresh new way, a way that will bring in the end time harvest. This is a greater outpouring than ever before. I am with you in all that I have foreordained you to accomplish for my kingdom. I am with you in all that I have foreordained you to accomplish for my kingdom. See, God already has your book all written. He already has in that book written what you are going to do each and every day. He isn't writing the book daily. It's already written in your book. God said, no more what if, for surely the greater works has been released. See, that has been released with this fresh new outpouring of my Holy Spirit. He's already released the greater works. With this outpouring, you will reach the unsaved, the unchurched, and the prodigals. I am bringing my bride into my house, and I am feeding her fresh manna from heaven. Don't go back to the old manna. I will supply you with fresh manna daily. Don't try to do what you used to do, guys. And God's been telling us, don't want what you used to have, even though it was good. Because what I'm giving you is so much greater than what you're leaving behind. So if you think, well, this worked, so I'm going to do it again. No, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work because God's doing everything a brand new way. Believe me, I know. I've tried to get him to work the way he used to work. He's not going to do it. I want to supply my people with fresh manna daily. Don't go back to the manna of yesterday because it will be ineffective and may even be harmful to you. As you read my word, I will continually supply you with fresh revelation daily. See that? And he's been prophesying that to us. As you read my word, I will continually supply you with fresh revelation daily. I am the manna that came down from heaven. My word is the fresh manna. Don't go back to your old way of believing. I have taken you to a new place, and I will continue to open your eyes to new things. You say, well, you know, they could do things this way, they could do things that way. Yeah, they could, but that isn't the way God wants them done. And if you think you're frustrated watching us just sit still, well, how do you think I feel sitting around spinning my wheels, knowing what people are saying? Are you understanding this? And people are looking at you thinking, well, why aren't you doing something? Well, I'd like to, but God just hasn't told me what to do yet. So we can't be concerned about what people want us to do. We have to be concerned about what God is telling us to do. God said, I am releasing you from doctrines that are unproductive and that do not bear fruit. You are no longer under the law and the traditions of man, but you are living in the new covenant of my grace. Don't be afraid to leave the old manna to receive the new. You will also experience the deliverance of the Lord. I will bring you out to bring you in, and I will fight for you. You only need to be still. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And this is what God told me one time. A couple years ago, I was frustrated. And he said, daughter, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. So I went back and studied Moses. All right. You will have favor in my sight. Are you listening? And not only experience my miracles, but you will know my ways. A lot of people don't know. They know God, but they don't know God's ways. God said, breathe in this new wind, little ones. Breathe in my essence. Watch the winds as they blow over the nations and blow away all that is not of me. These winds are fresh new winds of change. Let's stop here. You know, the other day I was just, you know, don't you just sit and talk to God and contemplate what he's doing and why he's doing different things. And you know, I was thinking about all the bad things are going on in the world. And God said, this is what it's like in hell. Satan has rule right now over the earth. And that's why all the destruction is here. Now, he's taken me to hell 3 times, and I sure wouldn't want to go there. He took me there because I'd say, I don't care if to go to hell or not. Well, he took me there, and he said, now, do you really want them to go there? And I said, no. But if you just look at all the destruction around about you, if you go to hell, that's what you're going to live. And who wants to live like that? I'd rather stay with Jesus and rule and reign for 1,000 years in perfect peace. Amen. All right, then God said, feel the rain. First of all, he said, breathe in this new wind. Now he's saying, feel the rain. The rain of heaven has been released already. Already. This new rain brings with it many great signs, wonders, and miracles. Like my Holy Spirit, this is a refreshing latter rain that will cleanse all that it rains upon. I really believe we need to go around and just say, God, thank you for the latter rain. Just let it pour out upon me. You know, pour out upon you continually so that no matter where you go, the anointing will be on you and it will destroy the yokes of others, those other people around about you. And if you just keep saying, God, let the latter rain fall upon me, every place you walk becomes holy ground then. And you bring holiness everywhere. Are you understanding this? See, some Christians have gotten off course again. God has placed you in a ministry, and you were doing really, really great for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, boom, there you splattered again. Why? Why do you do that? ask yourself that. Why do I do that? Why can't I stay in line with what God's called me for to do? God's saying there's something in you that you have not yet yielded to Him, and that's an open door to let the enemy work on you and through you. God says you have never experienced this latter rain before. You have been abiding in the former rain, and now is a time to move on into the latter rains. Now, what does the latter rains bring? Signs, wonders, and miracles. The former rains, we were just learning. We were just coasting. We were just backsliding. But now God wants into the latter rains where the miracles will be. No, not would be, are, according to what He told me. And where we could do great and mighty works for the Father. Remember Elijah. I'm going to read the other paragraph, Brett. You have never experienced this latter rain before. So anyhow, what I want to get a point here is you're moving into something that you've never been to before, and you're not going to understand it. You can't take it for granted. As God's moving you, transition you into this new thing, you have to say, God, what are you doing here? I do that all the time. What are you doing here, God? What is it you want me to do? What changes are you trying to get in me? Not in you, but in me. Because each one of us need to keep ourselves right with God. I can't keep you right. You can't keep me right. So every day you need to pray for yourself, God, what is there in me that's hindering you using me for the great and mighty works? And then let Him tell you the truth. And then when He tells you the truth, it sets you free, right? Then let Him change you. Remember Elijah as he sat with his head between his knees telling Ahab there was an abundance of rain on the horizon. This is God speaking. He did not see it, but he heard it and by faith proclaimed it, and then rains came. My refreshing brand new rain that had never rained on the earth before. Now, so he said here, Elijah did not see the rain, but he heard it by faith, proclaimed it, and then the rains came. All right, God, I don't feel like the glory's on me. I don't see any signs, wonders, and miracles, but I have faith in you that you said it was here, and it's here, it's on me, and you're using me for great and mighty works. Put your faith to work. If you're sleepy, get up and walk around, please. Don't sit and roll your eyeballs. You look like you have demons in you. Are you all right? We good to go? All right. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. It tells us Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but we know Elijah was a prophet, right? And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years. God told me one time, I told this before. He said, a man was going to die. He said, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. If you want him to live, he'll live, but he'll never go to heaven. But if he dies right now, he's right with me, and I'll take him to heaven. But the choice is yours, daughter. Whatever you want done with this man, that's what I'm going to do. I told God to take him. Elijah was a man, and he told God, I don't want it to rain for 3 years. And so it didn't. You can go back and read 1 Kings chapter 17. Then in 1 Kings 18, 41 through 45, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. See, we give up after the first time. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then if you read, Elijah outran the rain. Elijah prayed for no rain, and there was no rain for 3 years. Why did he have his face between his knees? He was praying for the rain to resume. And I think that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying. God, you said the glory was on us. You said that we walk in the light of rain. You said great signs, wonders, and miracles. And if it takes seven times to say that before God starts using you for signs, wonders, and miracles, then you have to do it. You just can't sit, well, God said, and just sit there. You have to, God told me one time, daughter, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. So when you take that step of faith and step out there in faith, God is going to do the miracles that needs to be done. Barbara and Astrid have been going out the last couple of Fridays on the streets, and Saturdays, and this Saturday, they saw some great, wonderful things happen. I think somebody even prophesied to Barbara. But, you know, but they have to take the step of faith and get out there and do. And y'all know that when we first started, we were out on the street every Saturday. They just took the church and went out on the streets. And we saw great, great things happen. People's lives were saved. We'd go out on the street and sing for them and play music. And I didn't know it, but had a drummer who was a great musician, had his own band, and I said, I didn't know that. He said, they were the most out-of-tune people you ever wanted to hear. But he said it drew the crowds. The crowds came and just sat and listened to them. And people's hearts were changed. Their lives were changed. But if we wouldn't have stepped out there and did it, nothing would have happened. I would say that we was out every day. I had you either in church or out on the street doing something. But we were working for God. And we were winning souls. We weren't just sitting at home. Saturday, got to relax today. No, my people said, don't you know we're tired? I said, no, we're supposed to be saving souls. Amen? Come on. All right, so Elijah prayed for rain. And God answered his prayers and caused the rain to fall once again. Remember, it hadn't fallen for 3 years. So now Elijah said, okay, now God, let's get some rain out here. All right? Why can't you do that? Why can't you raise the dead? Nobody taught me how to pray for the dead and see them raised. The Word of God just said anything I did, he would do. And I believed what he said. And do you know why I stopped that? Because all the passage runner told me I couldn't do what I was doing, that I was demonic, planted that seed of doubt and unbelief, and I quit. I quit raising the dead. I quit praying. I'm just telling you where I was at. I quit praying for the sick. I started praying for the sick, and I say, are you really going to do this, God? No, he wasn't, because there was no faith in that. And then all that stuff just went by the wayside because I listened to what man said and not what God told me. All right. God said, I have heard your prayers for revival, and I am answering those prayers by pouring out the latter rain in abundance. That's the only way we're going to get this great revival. The enemy has been ruling the nations with fear. But I say to you this day, there is no fear in those who put their trust in me. I mean, you know, this is the most fear-filled world that I've ever seen. Everybody's walking in fear. And you don't hear much faith being spoken. You don't see anybody encourage one another. You start talking about how bad things are. And that isn't what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be out there telling them how good God is. All right? Now, you might have a brother or sister you want to use as a sounding board. That's fine. But you don't go out and tell the world. But the church also has to get their head out of the sand, like I said at the beginning, and understand we will suffer. All right? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Look at all the promises just during that one little verse. God says, don't forget my promises. Then God went on to say, church, you have absolutely nothing to fear. I have given you an entire book of promises, and I am well able to bring each one of them to pass as you allow my latter rain to pour out upon you and give you all power and authority to go forth. Read that again. Church, you have absolutely nothing to fear. So get that in your little pea brain. All right. I have given you an entire book of promises, which is his word, and I am well able to bring each one of them to pass as you follow my latter rain. As you allow my latter rain to pour out upon you and give you all power and authority to go forth. So God can bring the promises to pass as you allow him to pour his latter rain upon you. And if you don't have faith to believe he's pouring out upon you, he can't bring those promises to pass. There's a whole lot of things out there right now, guys, that we could be fearful about. If you really read the news and see what's coming down the road. But God told us quite a few years ago that all this calamity was going to happen. But as we trusted him, he would take care of us and meet each and every one of our needs. Now, that's a promise. Are you going to hold on to that promise? Or are you going to walk around fussing all the time? All right? All right, so I looked up to see how many promises are in the Word. And according to one account that I read, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Excuse me. The first promise in the Bible is in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. And between, he's talking to the devil, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That scripture was fulfilled in Galatians 4:4, Luke 2:7, and Revelations 12:5. God's already done that. We already have power and authority over the devil, do we not? Some of you don't believe that. You believe he has the power and authority over you. If you listen to Christians talk, you would think the devil had control over their lives. The only control the devil has over your life is the control you give him. And if you don't give him control, then he cannot do things to you that he's doing to you. Aren't you glad he told us about Job once again? Yes. To remind us that we're so strong that he told the devil to try, take us and try us, but don't kill us. He knows what we're made of. And I really believe that some of us are finding out what we're not made of. Because, you know, Job coming, he was looking for somebody. So God said, okay, you just take Alan. And Alan's sitting there all puffed up. Boy, I just got the devil under my feet. And then the devil works long enough and he's, oh, well, maybe just 1 foot. You know, type thing. You know what I'm saying? God's going to let you see what you're made of. He really is. All right, the last promise in the Bible is in Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This one is yet to come. This promise, Jesus has not come back the second time. We don't know when he's going to come back, but he is coming back. And this morning, God told me he's waiting patiently for his bride. So God's lining everything up so that Jesus can come back again. When's he coming? Who knows? Only the Father knows. And I really don't care. I just know he says that when he does come, you know, two will be plowing, one will be taken away. A man won't be laying in bed, one will be taken away. And he told me one time, you know, when I was first born again, you probably did the same thing. I dropped all my insurance. I did all that dumb stuff, you know. And God said, daughter, you have to keep running on living. Just be prepared for the second coming of my son. You know, we're dumb people, aren't we? All right, God said, look around about you. Feel the freshness in the air. This is my fresh new glory. The glory truly is in the house. God's been telling us that for quite some time. It never did leave. But God's glory is in the house, but he said not in all of its fullness. But when he told me this, it's here in all of its fullness. All we have to do is step out by faith and do. Are you understanding this? So what does God say that you have healing in your hands? You should be laying your hands on the sick and have enough faith to watch him recover. Come on. This is where God has us. Now he wants us to start using our faith. I don't care. Remember the Hunters, Frances Hunter? They had a great ministry. I followed them for quite some time. And she had this sore in her leg. And she said, wouldn't go to the doctor. She just knew God was going to take care of it. Well, you know, she had doctors in her traveling with her. And one doctor said, if you don't get that taken care of, they're going to cut your leg off. So she went to the hospital and got it taken care of. They didn't cut her leg off, but they got it healed. And she said, I don't know why God didn't heal my leg, why he used a doctor. See, we don't know why. Well, anyhow, what I'm getting at is she was still holding her healing services, even though God was not healing her. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know, all right, so you might have a ministry of ministering to married couples, but your marriage falls apart, you know? So that doesn't say that you quit having the marriage seminars. It means you just keep right on going. Because God is in control and he knows what he's doing, right? As long as you're doing your part in your marriage and it falls apart, well, God had a reason for that. Okay, look around about you. Feel the freshness in the air. This is my fresh new glory that I have promised the nations. He promised that. Just as I have been emptying out your old wineskins so I could fill you with new wine, I have also been removing everything that is not of me out of my churches so I could pour out this latter rain. A while back, God said, I'm going to shake the church again, daughter. And I said, what is there to shake? Well, some left. He said, I'm going to take you down to a few. And with those few, I'm going to bring my glory and I'm going to start the miracles. So anybody he removed was a hindrance, you know, to what he wanted to do. And so I don't know how many times he's shaken his church, but he brings people in to be trained. They don't want to be trained. They get flaky or on God or something. And God said, well, I got to shake again. Many are called, but few are chosen, you know. So it's up to you whether or not, you know, God shakes you out. Are you strong enough to endure the conflicts you're going to have to endure, the furnaces of affliction, you know, the pressing and everything else that he does to us, the molding and reshaping, slapping us down, you know, remolding us. Can you endure all these things to be the perfect vessel that God's calling you for it to be? Majority of people cannot. They can't. And so they walk away. So God can't use them. They're not true vessels of God. Think about this. Wouldn't you just like to sometimes just sit down and say, God, I have said this, God, just let me sit in a chair and just let me be ministered to. Let somebody get up, else get up and get beat up all the time. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But if you're really called of God and God's really going to use you in a mighty way, the devil's not going to let you go. He's going to keep pounding on you and pounding on you, trying to get you discouraged enough to quit. And I know that that's what's been happening to a lot of people. He's been pounding on us and pounding on us, trying to get us discouraged. What did Perry Stone said? He was been under attack for 15 months. He's been sick. And then he was saying that the enemy's trying to get the pastors discouraged so that they'll quit. I about fell into that category. I'm being honest. Because you think, God, I did all this for you, and look what I'm going through. One time I said to God, look what my son went through. I said, but God, he only went through that for 33 years. I've been going through this forever. That wasn't that a dumb statement? He didn't pay no attention to that statement, but, you know, it doesn't matter how long you have to go there. Well, look at Aaron. He doesn't have to go anything at all. Look how you're using him. That's none of your business. If I'm going to do that with Aaron, that's what I'll do with Aaron. You know, remember how they all fussed because John always laid his head on Jesus' shoulder. And Jesus said, you stick your nose in your own business and let me handle John. Well, see, Aaron isn't going to be as anointed as I am. That was just a joke, Aaron. He said, he'll get me later. Okay. God said, that time has come and the outpouring has begun. He said, enter in and receive. So what did he say back? Just as I have been emptying out your old wineskins so I could fill you with new wine, I have also been removing everything that is not of me out of my churches so I could pour out this latter rain. That time has come and the outpouring has begun. Enter in and receive. That's what you have to do this morning. Enter in and receive the outpouring of the latter rains. God said, I have spoken in the past saying old things will pass away and all things will become new. Well, little ones, we are in that dispensation of time right now. You see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. God said, I'm going to blow across these nations like you have never seen before. I am blowing away the old dross and I am bringing righteousness back into my houses of refuge. What has God been trying to, he's been teaching us righteousness, holiness, right? He's bringing it back into the house, guys, whether you want to do it or not, bye. Because God's going to do it. And God's not playing around. He is serious, as serious can get. All right, God said, where are you standing? Can the latter rain pour over you? Are you more than ready to be drowned in my latter rains to the point that you will never look back, but will have the conviction to move forward at any cost? You know, as God said, I thought about the time he told me that he was going to put me in the river and stand on my neck until he drowned me. So he's saying to you, where are you standing? Can the latter rain pour over you? You know, can he put you in that river and drown you? Are you more than ready to be drowned in my latter rains to the point that you will never look back, but will have the conviction to move forward at any cost? Where are you this morning? Only you know that answer, you and God. You can tell me anything, and I really don't want you to tell me nothing. I want you to think to yourself, where am I at with you, Father? Can you pour those latter rains over me and drown me? Or will I literally drown when you pour the latter rain over me? Ask yourself that question. And then when you have your answer, you know, God said he wants us to enter in and receive. If you come to the altar, God is going to touch you in a way that you will be drowned in the latter rains. And you're going to begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And I don't know what the lady's name is beside Dan there, huh? Stacy? Stacy, God's telling me to tell you that you're going to see miracles in your home. You're going to literally see angels, and they're going to literally come and talk to you, and you're going to see many miracles in your home, and then you're going to carry them out into the highways and the byways. When you go, it's great signs, wonders, and miracles going to follow you. And you already know what your ministry is, he's saying. And he said he's getting ready to open the doors and thrust you into that ministry. All right. And Dawn, right? God said he's been raising you up for years now to be a minister to men, because men don't have anybody to minister to them. They've had false ministers that have led them astray. But he has been cleaning you up and setting you on a pinnacle where he will be able to send men to you and you will preach the truth to them. And I'm hearing God say you're going to have men seminars, you know, seminars just for men to teach them the right way to walk and to live. and you're going to teach them how to be the husband and the father in their homes. And God's saying to you that is missing in the homes in this dispensation of time. But this is what he's going to have you do. All right. And God's also showed me that sometimes you get very discouraged and you just think things aren't moving fast enough. But God says, son, I have a time and a season for all things. Now, is God speaking to you? If you really want to be busy, I'll make you really busy really quick. All you have to do is let me know. He says, and I have already opened the floodgates, but I'm going to open them even wider for you. And I'm going to thrust you into this ministry of ministering to my men immediately, overnight. If you desire, I will open the doors. And I'm going to tell you the truth. As I was sitting there during praise and worship, I saw you holding some sort of meeting in here. And but you was with the young lady too, and you were holding a meeting in here. And I heard the word January. So if I was you, I would seek God's face and see what he wants you to do in January, what kind of meeting he wants you to hold. All right? And God said, don't worry, you'll be backed up. You won't be out there all by yourself. You'll be backed up. So if you, I'm finished with you now. if you are ready to enter in and receive this latter rain outpouring that God has for you, the altar's open.